Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. There's nothing like hot NBA action in November.
Dario trying to get free, gets the ball, drives it on Griffin down the lane, goes into the paint, back out the cup, free ball shot in the air, Robert Covington, he's got it! A triple by the Sixers, Covington pours in a three, and it's a two-point game. Dario the drive, the kick out, and Cove the triple.
That's right, and the Sixers won it 109-105 last night. They've still got 68 more of those to go. All right. Merrill Reese on the show coming up on Thursday. Looking forward to that. By the way, I think what Tony Knopp we are getting a line on to get on the next, what, week or so?
2 weeks for Tony. Get him on by the end of the month.
Ah, very nice.
You may need a full hour to talk NFL and Olympics with him. So.
And World Cup.
Oh, yes.
And World Cup. Yes. Oh, let's see. No United States, no Italy, Russia, no ratings. All right. Now there's your Russian conspiracy.
No, thank you. No Italy in the World Cup. That's, man, that's phenomenal. I can't get over that.
Yeah, I was bummed out. All right, so.
Well, you just think it's a no-brainer. You have an automatic, you know, couple handfuls of core countries that would get in each and every, you know, each and every 4 years.
Between that and Qatar the next time through, they might as well put the thing into the witness protection program. Really? All right. Audrey Snyder joins us from DKSports.com. Audrey, welcome back. It is great to hear you again.
Good to be back, Steve. How have you been?
I'm doing really well. Did you get the impression that Manny Bohm was not playing this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, that, you know, Bohm might be available this week, and I think it turns to the question of whether or not he's available for the Maryland game. I mean, when you're talking violation of team rules, Steve, it can pretty much be anything under the sun. And at this point, you know, in the semester too, I mean, it's, you see it a lot. You know, the town kind of changes vibes this time of year when students are cramming to try and get ready for finals and all this stuff, and they get all stressed out. So you have to wonder whether or not you see Bohm in 2 weeks, but certainly he will not go this week, so Brandon Smith should get the start on senior day.
Yeah, but you know, that's the part, the Brandon Smith part. You want to talk about it, it's a guy that's really earned his spurs. When you've watched him play the last couple of years, Audrey, what has stuck out to you about his play?
I mean, Steve, this is a guy who, and it was interesting talking with Brandon today, I mean, you know, came here, played some fullback, was a tight end, was bugging the coaching staff just to get his opportunity. And the thing to me that always kind of stood out is that this is a guy who kind of always was just around the ball. I kind of always had a knack for that. We saw it last year, you know, linebacking core gets depleted. He steps in, fills in well. He's just kind of always, I feel like, been that reliable guy, you know, like, is on a lot of special teams for them, helping them out. You step in, he'll do it, he'll get the job done. So really, I think, you know, and the way Bohm's season had gone up until, you know, to this point, I don't think it's that big of a drop-off from a production standpoint, but I think it kind of helps Penn State in the communication perspective where, you know what, he's making the calls, Cabinda's made the calls. These guys are going to be on the same page. So now it's a matter of getting everybody else on board, and with all the different guys we've seen on this defensive line this year, I think that's where it can get a little complex. But from a communication standpoint, I think it's definitely a positive. You know, when you've got a guy who has middle linebacker experience, at least on his resume.
The other part, too, is this. We watch players grow over time. Kurt Warner obviously before your time, Audrey, but the first time he spoke to the media would be a couple words here, a couple words there, and then by the time he became a senior, he was discussing answers in paragraphs. You now have Brandon Smith, a quiet guy, and yet he gave very long answers today, very with a lot of perspective, I thought.
Oh, absolutely, Stephen. I think you're right. I mean, that's kind of one of the interesting things from, you know, sitting over here doing from our side of the things, you know, where you see these guys, and a lot of them you get to know them as recruits, and you kind of see them really blossom just into actual, you know, legitimate young adults. It's such an interesting period when you look at it. You know, you get to see some of these guys when they're 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. So some of them, I mean, the case where they're fifth-year seniors and that kind of thing. And really, yeah, the perspective totally changes, the maturity changes, and it's kind of funny to even look back at some of the, you know, the earlier interviews and those kinds of things. I mean, I know if I was in their position, Steve, I'm sure, you know, 18-year-old Audrey would have been a blast for interviews, I'm sure. But, you know, perspectives change, and I think that's one of the neat things. And Mike Gesicki, I mean, he met with us today and was telling some really great, you know, hilarious stories about himself and his teammates. That's kind of how he's grown up. And I remember going to Mike's, you know, ceremony when he decided that he picked Penn State, and just kind of, you know, that guy versus the one you see now. It's just kind of natural human progressions, but it is really neat to see that.
Well, I remember the night he picked Penn State, you know, DeVerbal, and it was Thursday night, and I remember that because I was doing the talk show with Bill O'Brien at the time, and then I went to Bill did not start the show because he was on the phone with Mike, and he came over to me, and we went into a commercial break, and Mike, Bill leaned over to me, he says, Steve, he says, quote, we got Gesicki. He says, we finally, quote, beat out an Ohio State for a recruit. It was a big deal to Bill when it happened. That's how important Mike was to him.
Oh, it was huge. It was absolutely, you know, you look at that, and of course, at that point, Steve, you know, it was all about what Bill had done with tight ends, kind of all the excitement there. And then, you know, you look at the way that Mike's career has gone and how he's bounced back and those kinds of things. Really, you know, one of the more interesting stories, and when you see, you know, senior classes like this, it's always kind of neat, I think, to go back and look at, you know, okay, who is the highest touted guy in this class per the recruiting services, and, you know, who are some of those other guys? Your Brandon Smiths of the world, those types of people who found ways to impact this team, you know, despite coming here as a walk-on and those kinds of things.
No question. And then they bounce back, they beat Rutgers, and I thought Dennis Dodd had a good one. He says, Penn State had to get Rutgers. Penn State needed Rutgers. Penn State beat the you-know-what out of Rutgers. It was exactly
what
they needed
sure what
at that point, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was just for Penn State to get a win, to get back to kind of their winning ways, to put everything to the side. I mean, it's so much of what we've seen, you know, happen here in the last 3 weeks, Steve. I always go back to the quote that James Franklin said, you know, it was shortly after he'd gotten here, his first year, when he said, you know, whether you win or lose, kind of, you know, winning minimizes the problems, losing magnifies it. And that's what's happened. I mean, everything's been about the offensive line and needing to be more physical and all these kinds of things, and the defensive line, the injuries. That's all. I mean, these problems have been there, but you get a win and all that stuff kind of subsides, even if it's just for a few days.
Well, that it's interesting you say that, because when you, I don't think that there is a dominant team in college football this year. Despite what Alabama has done, they have had so many injuries, especially at linebacker. I give them, I think what they've done is actually maybe their best coaching job down there to this point. But they've had to work around problems. Everybody has to work around problems, and I think it's just, you know, who can work around the problems the best they can with what they have. Those are the teams that are surviving.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, at this point in the year, mid-November, I mean, nobody's healthy. I mean, that is the reality, and that's why recruiting is so important, because, you know, if you get some of these upper echelon guys that maybe can you know, come in and play right away. Obviously, that's not always ideal, but when you have injuries and you have people who need to step in, it certainly helps if you're dipping into, you know, a more loaded talent pool than what you had before. But certainly, Steve, at this point of the year, everybody has more than bumps and bruises, and your elite teams have to find ways to overcome that. I mean, we saw it last year with the Penn State team and all the injuries they had, and just, you know, the magnificent run they went on and just how they got there despite all the injuries. I mean, all it takes, you know, any team at any level, Steve, we see it all the time, one injury to one key player and your whole season is thrown for a loop. We saw it with Florida State. As you know, I'm a Packers fan, so you see it with Aaron Rodgers, and the whole thing right. goes haywire. I mean, that's just the nature of this sport.
And part of the nature of this sport, too, is what the SEC does with schedules. And I've talked about this many times mm-hmm. before, but this weekend is a weekend where four SEC teams, including Alabama and Auburn, are playing non-conference games, and Alabama's game is against Mercer. Dabo Sweeney at Clemson in the ACC, you and I both know he follows what Nick Saban does almost to a T. Guess what? They've got the Citadel this weekend. Should those programs be penalized late in the year for doing something like that with their schedule and masking it?
You know, I think it's a smart move, Steve. And, you know, you look at and I had to laugh because I was reading somewhere today.
Oh, I know it's a smart move. I agree with the smartness mm-hmm. of the move.
I mean, somebody referred to it as a annual mid-November sabbatical for yeah. some of these teams. You know, and I think it's a matter of you look at their body of work up to this point, kind of course, we'll see, you know, polls tonight, where they stand, all those sorts of things. But if you're that dominant up until this point where you get to these games, I don't think it hurts you, because I think you look and you say, okay, well, you know what? You know, they've steamrolled team X, Y, and Z to get here. Certainly it gives you the benefit of trying to get healthy, get everybody together. So I really don't think it should hurt you. Now, of course, you run that small risk of if something falls totally apart, you're going to drop in a hurry. But, you know, we haven't seen that happen. So I just think it's a really, really a wise move. And if you're that dominant up until that point, I don't think it should hurt you.
Right. See, I think I agree with you. It's very, very smart what they do. Very smart. And it's very smart because they're allowed to get away with it. And mm-hmm. I think if somebody called them on it, then, because, look, they're not risking anything this weekend. Other people have to risk things.
Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of the setup they have. I mean, everybody, as we know, Stephen, this crazy business, because we might even call it a sport, because we all know it goes more than that, everybody's looking for an edge and kind of a way to gain an advantage. And that's what they've done and what they've done so well. And unless there's some, you know, reform to change it, they're not going to, you know, volunteer to and say, okay, you know, we're not going to do this. I mean, there's no way. You know, any team that can get away with it would do it.
How do you view the Nebraska game this weekend?
You know, I think for a Penn State team that just needs to somehow find a way to run the ball, it's kind of perfect timing for them in that regard. You know, you always have the additional emotions on senior day and how you manage that and kind of flip the switch from, you know, being out there with family and friends to coming back and running out of the tunnel. That's certainly a challenge that I know James Franklin has outlined quite a bit in his time here. But I think for Penn State, you know, they should be able to, you know, continue to make strides as an offense. And I think that's what it's about. Obviously, Steve, you know, it's about the win more so than anything else. But I think for this team, it's about getting back to where we all kind of thought they would be. You know, getting back to getting a little bit healthier, getting this offensive line better, get Saquon Barkley back over 100 yards. I mean, that would be huge at this point, just kind of after the last 3 weeks that he's had. So, you know, you have to see how it goes, but I think for all that ails Penn State, especially in the run game, they really need a strong turnaround in that area this weekend.
Has a player without the ball that's a non-quarterback been hit more than Saquon Barkley?
I don't think so, Steve. I mean, you know, people always talk about bringing value to teams, and there's no doubt that when you look at Barkley and kind of his value, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, why aren't they running the ball, blah, blah, blah. You can talk about the O-line all you want, but when you have a guy like that on the field, he's such a mismatch problem for everybody. And really, you know, if anything, what we've seen this year, his pass protection skills. I mean, that's something that he said Saturday night as a freshman. He said he was god-awful in it. Natural for a freshman to kind of to struggle there. But, yeah, I mean, this guy, he takes some pounding. But I think all in all, Steve, they got to find a way to get back to running the football.
I think everyone feels that way about it, including the coach. Appreciate it so much, Audrey.
You got it. Take care.
Audrey Snyder, DKSports.com. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Keep your cash this Christmas. Sunbury Motors Kia is going to light up the holidays. Light up the holidays with Sunbury Motors Kia. Brand new 2018 Kia Rios start at just $15,955. Sunbury Motors Kia is your Kia Sorento headquarters with 28 brand new 2018 Kia Sorentos starting at $23,921. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2018 Kia Optimas discounted $2,440, priced all the way down to $21,570. SMC is going to light up the holidays with huge discounts, aggressive trade values, and the best financing from Kia. 0% financing for 60 months on 2018 Kia Sorentos. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Keep your cash this Christmas with the help of Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf, lighting up the holidays for you and your family.
Tax and tax extra. Offer expires 11/30/17. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Just don't get the feeling that you're feeling it. About the Thursday show. I thought I came up with a brilliant plan that was a blockbuster, and you're just not into it. I mean, I know you lined up the Merrill Reese part. I was just trying to take it over the top where when we're done with it, we're all getting contract extensions.
It's leaving me. It's just leaving me speechless. I'll be honest with you. I didn't expect it. Didn't expect the idea.
Look, why don't you go tomorrow to Maddie's?
I will go.
And say, quote, he shows. All right.
I'm banking on it, he will show.
No, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
That's true. Tomorrow's payday. So.
Yeah. Exactly. And say he does, and there's that feeling of love in the room for him. All right. Will you then change your mind about it?
I probably would, yes.
So you're saying you're not going to feel it?
We're still 48 out. There's time.
Okay. All right. 800-795-9565 is the number. And the reason I talk about the SEC is that, look, you got to call them out when they're doing this. Now, yeah, is it brilliant? Yeah, it's brilliant when you get away with it. And they have 8 conference games. Which means they have 4 non-conference games. And they do a brilliant job of masking their schedule where they essentially put in... I mean, Alabama's playing Mercer this week. Look, the Mercer kids are going to try their brains out. Mercer's going to get a nice check, and Alabama's going to get a bye week. Chris in Shamokin Dam, how are you, Chris?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. It's great to hear from you.
I just wanted to thank you and Penn State again for... what they did for the veterans this past weekend.
Well, thank Penn State for that. Obviously, I said certain things on the broadcast about it because of how passionately I feel about it. But Penn State's done a great job with Military Appreciation Weekend across the board, and they deserve a lot of credit because I think they've gone they've taken it to the extent where the veteran is getting exactly the kind of recognition they rightfully deserve.
I think they've set the standard for other universities and businesses to follow Penn State's example.
I agree with you, Chris. I think that's a very good point by you.
And I had a question. I know the Steve Jones show is available on podcast. And is the Shikellamy coverage from this past Friday, I'd like to listen to what the suit said during the game.
Sean, that's your question. Go ahead.
Well, we actually don't podcast. We don't podcast any of the football games, but I can possibility we can look into that for you.
I just like to hear what the suit was saying when the SEALs were marching up and down, being a SEAL fan. And
right. No, I can understand. I can understand why you'd want to, because I believe the suit was taking depression medication. So.
A quick comment on this: some of the PIAA games,
yeah.
How they determine the locations is absolutely crazy to me. In the 5A bracket, Grove City and Huntington are playing. They're playing in Millersville.
I know.
All places. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Chris, you're absolutely right. I don't understand the rhyme or reason as to why games are played the way they're played. I mean, 1 year, now here's one that makes sense. Let me give you one that makes sense. 1 year, it was, I think, 2 years ago in high school basketball in the state semifinal. Lower Merion played Erie Cathedral Prep, and they played at Bald Eagle Area. Well, that's halfway. Okay. Sealands Grove's going to go to Altoona to play Bellefonte. You couldn't go to Central Mountain?
Central Mountain or Williamsport, either one.
Right, either one. I mean, to me, you've got to take into account the fans. It's not just, I mean, the teams are going to travel wherever they go. But you've got to start taking into account, how can I get the most people there? You're at the stage of the season where somebody like you, Chris, who's really, really interested, okay, what, are you going to make them now drive 2 hours and 15 minutes to the game when you can make it so it's an hour and 15 and the other team only has to drive 45?
Well,
how about that? How about that logic?
I mentioned Grove City because I'm an alum from there. I can travel an hour and 45 minutes to Millersville and get there and watch the game. But it's a 7 o'clock game, and the folks from Grove City have 3.5 to 4 hours drive to get there. And the game's over at 9:15. You want them driving all the way back to Grove City at that time of night?
In November?
Might make the hotel people happy.
Right. In November, no less. Excellent point, yep. Chris. And I think it's something they've got to look into. They've got to be smarter about this and show a little bit more common sense.
They won't have a big crowd, that's for sure. Grove City normally travels well.
Yeah, that's too bad, too, because you're right. That's what, a 3.5-hour trip, Chris? You say that?
At least.
Yeah. Ooh, man, that's a long way.
Until they figure out the public and private classification deal, they won't be able to figure out a simple thing like location of playoffs.
You are spot on, my man. There's not one thing you said that I could even remotely disagree with. In fact, your commentary is exactly right.
And one last thing, my grandson loved seeing you on Saturday, you and Jack.
Oh, that's great. Well, we enjoyed seeing your grandson, too. Believe me, it went both ways.
Yeah, he loves it. Thank you.
No, thank you, Chris. Thanks so much for bringing your grandson out on Saturday. We enjoyed that. All right, we'll take a break. Bottom of the hour. Time now for a news update. Final half hour of the show coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up on Thursday, Merrill Reese. And also a preview of Sealands Grove and Bellefonte. Tomorrow, Neil Coulong on the show. We're going to go at it when it comes to Thursday night football. The NFL is... Thursday night was a good night for college football, but remember, you know, Thursday night, then they added in Friday. All right, okay, that's a little stretching a little bit. And then, of course, Saturday. But then they left it at that. Now you got the NFL playing Thursday. Now you've got them playing Sunday, of course, and then Sunday night. And then you've got Monday night football. question I have is the NFL oversaturating the market with pro football? And I think that's something now, is the NFL going to change this? No. I mean, look how much money's at stake. What are they getting? What, $750 million between the combination of CBS and NBC? I mean, you're going to turn that down? I don't think you're going to turn that down.
And I heard a stat, and actually it came from Ross Tucker. He was on with Dan Patrick last week, and they were talking about the collective bargaining agreement. It breaks down to each player receiving a bonus, $155,000 for playing a Thursday night game.
Right.
And so if you and I were offered an extra $155,000,
right,
to play an extra game, I mean, who would walk in the other direction? And then you get the weekend off, you know. That's the thing. They always complain leading up to the game, but afterwards, enjoying that time off and, you know, and then getting your body finally to recover for the next game is, then you get the bone. Then it's cherry on the sundae.
Now, do I think that, now financially, do I agree that, yeah, it's a, you know, the financial part, they know what they're doing? Yes. Is it for the good of the product? No, it's not. Product is not good on Thursday night, and I think it overall, in the end, I think has hurt the NFL in some ways. Now people watch, not in the same numbers they watched before, but they watch. But the product is becoming oversaturated, and that's a, you know, you got to be aware of stuff like that. And Ross Tucker brings up a really, really good point that I really had forgotten about. And that is the simple point. Of the fact that they get a percentage of the revenue. Now, I've brought it up before when it comes to the collective bargaining agreement to be negotiated. And I've talked before about, will the fact that all the NFL's troubles here drive down the number they get from network TV, which then, of course, in turn will drive down the revenue the players get. But Ross Tucker brings up a really good point, and that is the Thursday night package has actually put more money into the pockets of the players. That was a really good point. And people don't talk about that. I mean, you never hear about that. No, we'll find out how that plays out. But I think that, you know, because it becomes a bigger topic this week because the Steelers are playing on Thursday night against Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. And will I be holding my collective breath a lot more? You betcha. Just with, in the last half hour, you know, just hearing Audrey Snyder, you know, talking about her Packers. And, you know, look what happened. The dynamic of her team completely changed with Aaron Rodgers getting knocked out. Look at last Thursday night with Richard Sherman getting knocked out of the game. That defense, the Legion of Boom, is so much different when he and the other two components are not out there at the same time.
It's much different. Now, did he get hurt because it was a Thursday night game? I'm not so sure about that. I mean, I think that that's assigning too much to a Thursday night. Now, he did have to play in it, and because he was playing, he did get hurt. But, I mean, could that have happened on a Sunday? Of course it could have happened on a Sunday. You know, it's everything. Look, everything in life is timing. Okay? Hey, everything in life is timing. And, you know, right time, right place, wrong time, wrong place. And Sherman got, you know, obviously wrong time, wrong place for him. They weren't playing on Thursday night. Who knows? It would have been, you know, maybe it would have been no big deal, or maybe 2 weeks from now he gets hurt. We don't know.
It's just the whole, just with so many stars being knocked out this year, I just think it's being magnified a lot more. Just with, you know, Odell Beckham Jr.,
right,
you know, and J.J. Watt, to name a few.
But again, you know, I mean, timing's everything. In victory and in loss, in life. I mean, think of all the timing. it's, I mean, for example, I've talked about, and Kevin did an awesome job, so please don't anybody take it this way, but Kevin did an awesome job. Well, Kevin had an opportunity, and the timing of it meant that that opportunity then opened the door to bring in Sean, and Sean's done an incredible job. I mean, timing, you know, it's something as simple as a radio show. Timing means something. Well, I mean, the Steelers were at a time timing meant everything to them. Were at a time they had a chance to pick up franchise quarterback, they were in a position to do it instead of having their usual 25 to 32 draft pick. Right? I mean, timing. Sometimes it's just that simple when it comes to what we see in life. And to bring it back now to Thursday Night Football, from a business point of view, the money is great. But are they being short-sighted about the money at the expense of the product? And I don't mean just the fact that the Thursday Night product is not a good product, because like the players are just too worn down from playing the week before, from playing on Sunday. They're just too worn out from playing on Sunday. But the Thursday night product has not been good. It has not advanced the game. It has not advanced the casual fan getting engaged in the game. And thus, the short-term windfall of cash, does that then mean a long-term problem once the contracts run out? Because the key to any rating, the key to winning attendance, is not the diehard. Sean's going to be watching his Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday night, no matter what. Sean's a diehard. It's the casual fan that, hey, wow, hey, yeah, Bob says they're playing really, really great. I should probably, you know, I like football. Yeah, I'm going to watch that game. You know, some weekends I can go without it, but, you know, yeah, I think I'm going to watch that because it's exciting. Sounds fun. And the casual fan gets engaged. Well, what's happened with Thursday night, the games have been so bad. The product's been so inferior. And Monday night's been the same way. Very few Monday night games have been good games. That you're seeing a ratings drop. The ratings drop is not from the diehard fan. The ratings drop is from the casual fan saying, this is boring. Suit says there's something good on Hallmark Channel. What?
Christmas movie. Starring Candace Cameron Bure.
Don't they all?
A big chunk of them.
Well, at least she's connected to sports. Her husband, the Bure part is her husband played hockey for a dozen years in the NHL. So... And so did her brother-in-law. Remember Pavel Bure?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, can't believe we're talking about her. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment.
Could be worse. Could be some other.
Well, I met her brother Kirk. I met him. He came to State College to give a speech after a Spikes game. Nice guy. You know, I mean, nice guy. So, I mean, I've met him. I've never don't think I've been in the same room with her, and I definitely have not been in the same room with her husband.
He was very funny and talented on Growing Pains.
He'd appreciate that review. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Okay, big night for college basketball, by the way. Number one, Duke, takes on number two, Michigan State, tonight at the United Center. Then they'll have the college football playoff rankings in between games. Then Kansas plays Kentucky at the United Center tonight. Tomorrow, Penn State and Montana at the Jordan Center. Montana in overtime beat Pitt last night, 83-78. At the Peterson Center, and Bucknell has defending national champion North Carolina tomorrow night. Doug Birdsong at the Dean Dome. So, big week college basketball. I mean, they do what they can to promote the game. I think the Big Ten having that weekend coming up, which is going to have permanence, I think, playing those games in you know, they're trying to promote college basketball, which gets lost in the college football part of it, especially you're down the stretch. Now, you've got obviously a Tuesday night, and you got four of the better teams in the country playing tonight. And that will be, and then that advances the game. On a weekend with college football championship games, you're going to have Big Ten basketball Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. As Jim Delaney said on this show, when I asked him, how closely are you going to be looking at that weekend with a sense of permanence? He said, very closely. Well, with the expansion, the 20 games next year in the conference, I think you can almost feel that as a lock that it's going to be there. And then, of course, Bucknell will play at North Carolina and tomorrow night as well. That'll be our very interesting tomorrow, I think, Sean.
Yeah, it was interesting hearing from Coach Davis yesterday afternoon. He was telling us in his weekly spot, you know, we're just a few plays away, just a half a step here, half a step there, and these games are going to be a lot tighter, and he definitely feels confident with his bunch, for sure, that they can pretty much play anybody, anywhere across the country.
Well, the bottom line is they're in a one-bid league. Okay. So you do what you can with these non-conference games where financially you pick up some cash. You'll pick up money to go down to North Carolina. And you'll play great competition, which will then in turn make you better when it comes time to play the league. And I think that's a big difference right there. That's a very big difference right there. They're playing great competition, Arkansas, North Carolina, people like that. If this were a multi-bid league, right now, maybe, do you think about scheduling differently? Yeah, maybe. But you take these guaranteed games, because this is a guaranteed game. And you take these guaranteed games, you go out and see which ones you can steal. And Bucknell's one of those programs where the casual fan is going to be, you beat Bucknell. And then if Bucknell wins, the casual fan goes, oh, you lost to Bucknell. Now, the real fan, the real North Carolina fan, and there are a lot of real North Carolina basketball fans, they know how good Bucknell is. They'll go down there. They'll know who Nana Fallon is. They'll know who Stephen Brown is. They'll know who Zach Thomas is. I mean, North Carolina fans are a pretty savvy group down there. So they'll know. It'll be the casual fan. They'll be, got all the answers. In fact, they just posted all the answers on Twitter. Did you read it?
I've been off Twitter for at least an hour. Shocking, believe it or not, but I'll look it up.
I've been off Twitter for years.
You have? Since 2009.
I've been off Twitter since they invented it. Now, I've been encouraged by people to go on Twitter, but no. That's, you know, you got to know who you are. That's not me. I just can't do it. So that's tonight. And, of course, then the college football playoff. How about Dennis Dodd last week? Dennis, wasn't Dennis great last week?
Crushed it.
I asked him about the mock selection and how the media has been invited to the mock selection. And he's taking part in it. And he said, I can tell you, Dennis, I can tell you on Tuesday night, that is nothing but a TV show. That's it. They aren't selecting anything on Tuesday. That was good. That was good. But Dennis, by the way, has Penn State 11 this week in his projection. So we'll see. We're going to see. You've got two lost teams, I think, that are better than undefeated or one-loss teams. I think Ohio State and Penn State are both better than Miami. I think they're both better than Auburn. I think they're both better than Georgia. I think they're both better than TCU. I think they're both better than Wisconsin. Now, do the metric points and everything else add up? No. But I'm entitled to my opinion, just like you're entitled to yours. My opinion is they're better than all those teams. Now, Clemson, I think Ohio State, Penn State are even with Clemson. Alabama, I don't know. But again, there's no dominant team this year. There's no dominant team. Alabama's done a great... This is one of the better coaching jobs I've seen Nick Saban do. I think Alabama has overcome shortcomings this year because of injuries. They've been really hit hard with injuries, and to their credit, they have figured out ways to still get it done. Mississippi State played I did not watch much of Notre Dame and Miami. I could tell after the first two series of the game that Miami was much, much better. And I flipped over to Alabama and Mississippi State because I thought that was the better game.
Yeah, I watched the whole fourth quarter of that game, and it just... That comes to the point, the college football fan and me just, okay, let's jumble everything up. Maybe number two is finally going to go down.
Right. Well, I'll say this. Jalen Hurts has become a much better thrower of the football. They protect him well, too. And Calvin Ridley is a very, very special college wide receiver. But it's not like Alabama is infallible. I think this is a year of really, really good teams and maybe no great team. And that's fine. That means the competition's wide open.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.